broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August 3rd in the year of our Lord 2015. It's hour two at two, and the goal always remains the same, unequivocally to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. On your radio and the traditions of our founders, it's incredibly simple. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide. It's the blueprint for liberty, ladies and gentlemen. The checks and balances inspired by the Almighty, put in place by the founders, brilliant. And the answer to our problems. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam. Hey,
is the copperhead still sleeping there, Kurt?
He happens to be. He's been keeping some late hours, Sam.
Yeah, and the copperhead's out of control.
He's, not available right now for the broadcast.
All right, well, you're supposed to be on the radio, man. You're supposed to be ready to go.
I know.
Ready
to go. I hesitate to go and, rouse him.
I say you punch him in the nose and say, get up. What's wrong with you? Early to bed, early to rise? Come on. Don't you believe in Ben Franklin? What's up with you? I got to get on that.
Maybe by the end of the hour.
He can at least say a groggily hello to the Liberty Roundtable.
He's been having tough times to... deal with.
He's been having on. He's been on Easy
work.
Street, man. Come on.
Yeah, this hard.
All right. James Edwards is with us, thepoliticalcesspool.org, well-known talk show host, author of a book called Racism, Schmacism, pointing out realities of the double standards and war we face. And James, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Sam and Kurt and the Copperhead, who's apparently coiled up at the moment, but it's great to be back with you all on this incredible broadcast, this groundbreaking show. I just wish it were under better circumstances this morning.
All right, there you go. Now, we've got a late-breaking story that just happened over the weekend. It's tragic. All lives matter, what I have to say. But the headline says, police seek man in death of officer in Memphis. That's the New York Times. A warrant was issued for the arrest of Jermaine Wilburn, 29, for first-degree murder. Yeah, he's got charges of first-degree murder. Now, the story plot thickens. James, do you want to take a stab at kind of getting everybody's arms around this thing?
All right, well, basically what happened, and it occurred just shortly after 9 o'clock p.m. Central Time here in Memphis. This murder occurred in Memphis on Saturday night. If people don't know, my broadcast, the Political Cesspool, airs live in Memphis, or originates from Memphis, rather, on Saturday evenings from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So, while we were still packing up at the studio this last Saturday night, a police officer by the name of Sean Bolton, 33 years old, was murdered during a routine traffic stop here in town. So, probably by the time we were walking out to the parking lot, this tragedy was occurring, and he just so happened to be murdered by a 29-year-old black male here in town. And, this is obviously you can't help but draw the parallels from similar stories that the media has absolutely sunken its teeth into when the roles and races were reversed. Now, I will submit to you this, gentlemen. Had this officer, a 33-year-old family man who had survived a tour, he was a former Marine, survived a combat tour in Iraq, but he didn't survive what they would call diversity here in Memphis. Had he been able to pull his weapon, now he was shot dead, shot multiple times, died at the hospital just minutes later. Had he been able to pull his weapon and subdue this thug who was out on, I believe, some sort of a parole and for robbery or burglary, and he had on him less than 2 ounces of marijuana, which would have been a misdemeanor, but with his record, it would have probably given him a little more trouble than it would have had a first-time offender. But had this officer been able to protect himself by putting down this criminal before he was murdered, this officer today, had that been the case, would be facing accusations of racism. There would be riots in the streets of Memphis, Tennessee, as we saw riots in Baltimore after the death of Freddie Gray, after we saw riots in Ferguson, Missouri, in the aftermath of the Michael Brown situation, riots, you know, stemming from the Trayvon Martin verdict and so on and so forth. That would have been the reality. He would have lost his job. He would have forever been under the threat of violence from the Black Lives Matter, quote-unquote, crowd. But thankfully for him, he's going to at least be able to rest in peace now without that being the reality, because he's just another anonymous cop that was murdered at the hands of a vicious criminal. And so, you know, I want to say clearly in that my hearts and prayers go out. You know, I'm a Memphian. I've been born and raised in this town. This occurred in Memphis. This was a Memphis police officer. You know, so my hearts and prayers go out to the victim, his family, and to all law enforcement you know, officials here in this city. But the way the media is covering this, Sam, quite different than the way they've covered similar instances when the outcome was the negative image.
You're right about that. Now, we'll get into those details in a second, but I want to kind of set the stage for this. So Saturday night, this happened, ladies and gentlemen. And what happened is, I guess, that the debate was, I guess they had like less than 2 grams of marijuana or pot. And they say it's tragic that somebody loses their lives over 2 grams of pot. That's not what this is really about, okay? The marijuana in the car, it turns out that I guess 2 people were involved in this crime, okay? And we don't know the driver's name yet. But Sean Bolton is the police officer who's dead, okay? And Tremaine Wilborn is the 29-year-old thug that's on charges of first-degree murder. They're looking for this thug right now.
He's still at large.
He's still at large. They're looking for him right now. Right now, the driver of the car, who's unnamed, which is fascinating, turned himself in and turned the car in. And that's how they know it's over 2 grams of pot, because they say 2 grams of pot was in the car when they got the car or whatever, when he turned himself in. Now, I don't understand why he'd leave the pot in the car when he turns himself in.
No, Sam. No? He wouldn't. I mean, he would, of course, leave everything the way it was. I mean,
oh, yeah,
he wouldn't have gotten rid of any of the murder weapon. And I mean, it's really surprising the shooter isn't there. I mean, these are honest criminals.
Good point. Honest criminals, that's right. Now, I find it fascinating, too, this. The first story that I read said nothing about race at all, except for that the White House talked about the White House, that they're really against this. This is horrible. And the White House, you know, reaches out with kindness and love to the victims. Now, I get that. I agree with the White House. But the only racist statement was White House. I don't know why they call it that still. They need to change that name. If you can't have the Redskins, how on earth can you have the White House, for crying out
That's
loud?
Right. Yeah.
But second story I read said nothing about race, except for, they said Tony Armstrong, that is the police director, they said he was black. He told reporters that Officer Sean Bolton was shot on Saturday. Now, they mentioned that he was black, so you know they want you to know that the police officer is black. I'm sorry, the police director is black. Now, that's fine. Here's my problem with this whole thing. Okay, I think that they need to state the race in every case of these murders, because to leave race out of the discussion is racist. Okay, to bring up that it was a white, say, cop that killed a black individual, and then race in those scenarios,
yes.
But
yes.
Then ignore race in the other scenarios sets this racist double standard that is unacceptable. And that's the starting point for the discussion, James.
Well, Sam, you're right over the target, my friend. You're absolutely right. And let me say once again, on the air and on the record, that I applaud the Memphis Police Director, Tony Armstrong, here in what he said.
Wait a minute. You're applauding a black gentleman, sir?
He's right on the money on this one.
And, okay. And, good point.
And so, you know, what he said was all lives matter. And, you know, we hear all of this in the media about Black Lives Matter. Well, all lives matter. He's standing in solidarity with one of his officers who, you know, just by matter of fact, was white. So I applaud him on that, but it's very...
Hold on, say that again. This black police director is backing his police officer that is white, and so is racist James Edwards and Sam Bushman, right?
That's right, Sam. Well,
all right.
Listen, there's certainly a great gap in reality when it comes to, you know, who we really are and what some of these
rappers are. I'm just highlighting the truth.
Online groups, too. But no, certainly, you know, Director Armstrong was right in his statement. But what's interesting about his statement is that we covered this, what was it, last Saturday night or perhaps the week before on my program, that the former governor of Maryland, Governor O'Malley, said the very same thing at a presidential forum. I believe it was in Arizona. He said that all lives matter, and he was skewered by the media for being so insensitive to say that all lives matter.
And then he backed off and reneged on that statement as well. It's just beyond the pale. Quick pause on your radio. Many of you have heard me talk about my vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, I'm going to mix it up here big time when it comes to race on purpose, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not afraid to call a spade a spade. Copperhead's sleeping. Tell him to hang on. All right, so here's the deal. This race issue is important to understand, ladies and gentlemen. Everything they're doing is designed to foster hatred and race divide. We, the American people, I pray, are smart enough, are humble enough, are God-fearing enough not to let this happen. So let me make this very clear. All right? Police seek man. In death of white officer Sean Bolton in Memphis, Tennessee. The police officer that got murdered is white. All right? A warrant was issued for the arrest of let me make sure I'm right on this, James, a black man, Tremaine Wilburn, 29 years old, on charges of first-degree murder. Now, let me make this more clear. So you got a white cop dead, a black shooter killed him. You got Tony Armstrong, who happens to be the black police director, standing up saying all lives matter. You've got Sam Bushman, James Edwards, and many others who they claim are racist but were not, standing up for this black police director in defense of his white police officer, because white and black don't matter. What matters is that thugs are killing people and they've got to be stopped on any side of the aisle, whether they're a cop and they're, you know what, wrongfully killing people, or whether they're a citizen, or I should say criminal, but they're a citizen until proven guilty. Let's make sure that's clear, too. But the point is, it's not a color issue. It's a pro-death issue. And the racists want to highlight it when it's, quote, white people doing the killing on blacks. When it's the other way around, they want to absolutely bury that reality. James, that's the problem I'm having here. It's racist to create a double standard. It's appropriate to point out the truth every time.
That was exactly the point I was going to make, Sam, as we waited to come back live from the commercial break. And I want to be very careful, as I'm sure that you do, too, not to politicize this murder in order to solidify in the public's mind some of the things that we know to be true.
What I want to politicize is that we got to stop thugs from killing people no matter who they are.
Well, that would be a nice start in this country. You know, but I do think that in the wake of Charleston, that tragedy in Charleston, that the media absolutely reveled in the fact that finally, after decades and decades, you had a white shooter who had posed with Confederate flags who went in and senselessly murdered black people. They really loved that, Sam. I mean, they got pleasure out of that because they didn't, you know. And you know, but in that situation, though, in every article, go back to the news stories that were written immediately after the shootings and still to this day, every single one of them is very clear to point out that Dylann Roof was a white shooter, white gunman, white gunman, white gunman. Every single article mentioned it several times. And in the situation in Ferguson, just to draw another example of many that we could point out, white officer Darren Wilson shoots unarmed black teen over and over and over, white officer, black victim, white officer, black victim. Here in this case in Memphis, you know, not until yet last night when they released a picture of the alleged shooter did I know that he was black. And if I couldn't see the picture of the suspect, I still wouldn't know he was black, because not one article that I've read, and I've read a lot, not one article mentioned in this case, as they were all too eager to do in the situations in Charleston and Ferguson, not one article that I've read has pointed out that the shooter was black.
And that the police officer was white and the man defending the police officer is black. And so what they do, James, is they will show you a picture from time to time, but they'll only show you a picture of somebody, not multiple people. And so you don't really get the connection either. So, for example, they showed, as far as I understand, a picture of the criminal here that's on the run right now. And you can see that he's black, but it's not in context with any other discussions. So you see a black police, I'm hesitating because this is, he's a police director. I'm just not familiar with police directors. Anyway, I keep wanting to say police chief. But the point is, they'll show you the black police director and the black criminal together, but they won't show you side by side the black and white reality here that we face. And the only reason that it matters is because they bury that when it serves their purposes, and they put that on the front page, promote that when it serves their purposes.
This is the point, Sam. You're dead on the money. And of course, they can't call him a police chief because it's so insensitive to Indians. That, you know, we know that. So, but race matters in this case.
Good point,
when
chief.
You're talking about think about this. Now, everybody just think about this. When you're talking about a suspect at large in your community, wouldn't it help you to know if he was white or black? By making the distinction that he is either white or black, you can...
Come on, the idea to even ask the question is absurd.
I mean,
come on.
You know, I mean, you can disqualify, you know, a vast percentage of the population by determining if he's male, female, white, or black. I mean, that is a great start narrowing down the, you know, the number of people who possibly could have committed this crime. So, yeah, I think to know his race, to know his age, to know his, you know, in New York City, I think that they've made it almost illegal to mention the race of an assailant. But here's the thing about all this. You know, all of this, we have to begin to have a mature conversation about crime statistics. And we know from the Department of Justice, the United States Department of Justice, a federal entity, that of the nearly 770,000 violent interracial crimes committed every year involving blacks and whites, blacks commit 85% of these crimes. So, you know, I would like for the city of Memphis, if they can find the time. Now, I know we've got very important business in the city of Memphis this summer. We're trying to dig up the graves of Confederate veterans and bulldoze monuments. You know, I hope that when they get finished with that very important work, that they can, you know, take the time to do something about situations like this and use the facts to help them make educated decisions. You know, this is the third police officer in 4 years to be murdered in Memphis. I mean, you know, that doesn't sound like a lot, but that really is a lot.
It's a ton because it's a tiny city in America. Now, don't get me wrong. Memphis isn't tiny. But what I'm talking about is compared to the overall population of the United States, Memphis alone is tiny. And for three people to be dead, I thought the cops were killing everybody and they all had all the protection. Now, I'm not saying that it's right for cops to kill anybody either. I'm saying thugs need to be stopped from killing people. Black, white, cop, not, whatever. Everybody needs to stop the killing. But I bring this up to say, really, in a microcosm, Memphis is a tiny place for three people to already be dead that are law enforcement, right?
Well, you know, when you're talking about police officers, I mean, obviously that's fairly rare, even still to this day, that police officers be murdered in the line of duty. You know, so for that to have occurred nearly once a year for the last couple of, you know, 3 or 4 years here in Memphis, you know, that's significant. Of course, you know, murder here in Memphis is, you know, a dime a dozen. You can't go any given night in South Memphis. You're going to, you know, there's going to be bodies, you know, at the morgue, you know, from this predominantly black on black violence. You know, and if there was true leaders in the black community, and I appreciate what Tony Armstrong said once again, and I think the only reason that the newspaper mentioned that he was black was because had he been white and said all lives matter, he'd be fired today. So they had to make the distinction that he was black, so, you know, to qualify the comment as being, you know, officially sanctioned. But nevertheless, he was right in what he said, and I appreciate it.
But, well, you know, I think it's interesting. They also mentioned that he's black because they know in this case the perpetrator is black. And so if you kind of put that together, then it still seems okay to report on it, right?
If the
police director was white, the cop was white, everybody was white, but the black dude went, then it points that out again. See, they love that they can say, well, the police director's black, the perpetrator's black. And so they try to pretend it's not an issue here.
If Tony Armstrong was white, he'd be fired right now for saying all lives matter. You can bet your bottom dollar. They would say, you know, the mayor of Memphis, A.C. Wharton, who's leading this charge to dig up the bones of Confederate veterans here in Memphis and remove it. Because, you know, if we can remove bones of Confederate veterans here in town, as one group said here in Memphis, you won't have racists. So, you know, probably if Nathan Bedford-Forrest hadn't been buried here, this cop would still be alive today, right? I mean, that's the way I see it.
By the way, there's about 700,000 people in Memphis. All right, so I'm not saying it's a tiny city, but I'm saying compared to the population of America, it's tiny. For three police officers to be murdered in recent times is off the charts. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, well-known commentator and talk show host James Edwards, host of the Political Cesspool award-winning radio broadcast every Saturday night on your favorite station, on the internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org and syndicated by Liberty News Radio, is with us. Sam Bushman on the radio. Kurt Crosby in the mix. We also got well-known listener and citizen reporter is the best way to describe him, Matt the Copperhead, literally in Utah, in Kurt's studio with Kurt. Hi, Matt.
All right, here comes Matt.
All right, here we go. Hi, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Sam. How you doing?
Good. What do you think of these stories right now? My big problem is they have this double standard agenda. If it's white killing blacks or a cop killing a citizen, they go ballistic and promote the race everywhere. If it's a black killing, they ignore it. If it's black killing white, they ignore it. If it's citizen killing cop, it's not really a big deal. They don't talk about race at all. In fact, they intentionally bury it. If you bring it up, they call you a racist. Your thoughts, Matt?
Oh, yeah. It's a huge issue. It's total double standard. Like I said, it's a total double standard of what's going on here. Are you familiar with what happened to the black conservative, I believe his name was Anthony Heavey in Mississippi?
James?
Well, of course. By the way, hello, Copperhead. Great to talk to you again, and I'm glad you could join us. We covered that on our radio program a week before last, but if people of the audience of the Liberty Roundtable are not familiar, Anthony Heavey was a black man from Mississippi, lived in Oxford, Mississippi, and he was a staunch supporter of the Confederate flag. And he attended a rally of Confederate monuments in Birmingham, Alabama. And on his way back home, he was stalked. Anybody can look up the name Anthony Heavey and, you know, find news stories written about this to back up my claim here. He was stalked by a silver car that carried four or five young black males, and they ran him off the road. He flipped three times, and he died on the scene. Now, how do we know all the facts about this? Well, he had a passenger in the car, a woman, who survived and was able to make this eyewitness report and testimony. So, right, I mean, but, you know, his lie, you know, that this was a case of a black life not mattering quite as much because he was on the opposite side of the official narrative.
Right, that's exactly correct, James. If black lives truly mattered in the liberal construct that they're trying to put forward here, we'd have a full investigation. The perp would be arrested right now, and you'd have groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center pushing for that investigation.
Yeah, not
that's not the narrative.
Not one peep from the Southern Poverty Law Center about this case, and I'm sure that the Mississippi State Highway Patrol is looking into it. I mean, it was obviously an attempted murder, or actually, an actual murder, as far as I can tell. But no, can you imagine if he had been a black man in support of taking down the Confederate flag and had just spoken at a rally and was then stalked by four or five white teenagers and run off the road? I mean, Obama would be in Oxford, Mississippi. The entire Justice Department would be down there. It'd be international news stories for decades. But, because, again, he didn't fit with the narrative, it's just a shame that that happened, I guess. But, and here we have here in Memphis, as Sam mentioned, a city of nearly three-quarters of a million people when you take in the surrounding suburbs and exurbs of Memphis. And these people have to live in fear because this suspect is still at large. And I wonder, had they released the important details of his identity immediately, if he would be at large today. So right now he's still at large. Nobody knows where. But this is, a very common occurrence in Memphis. The only reason this is getting a lot of attention is because, unfortunately, it was a police officer. But stuff like this happens every day in Memphis. And then you have, once again, the reason I brought up this issue with the Confederate parks and graves there in Memphis, you've got this, the biggest story in Memphis this summer has been this media-manufactured controversy. Nobody wants the Confederate graves dug up in Memphis except the mayor's office, as best I can tell. I wish that they would put a little bit of this energy into, the black crime, the crime that occurs in this majority black city. Maybe that would be a better allocation of their resources and efforts instead of trying to take the Sons of Confederate Veterans to court and getting the lawyers and getting this whole thing. I mean, investing taxpayer money to fight to dig up the graves of Southern heroes. I mean, that's morbid, that's wicked, that's sinful, that's despicable. And I think we have bigger problems than that, but that's just me.
I agree with you totally, James. This is a totally it's being a manufactured issue, and unfortunately, we've entered into a hot civil war with deaths involved. And it's just a sad state of affairs.
And of course, had any of this with the Confederate flag not been exacerbated since Charleston, that's not to say that this officer would be alive today. I mean, he could have very well still been killed. It's not as though this kind of violence was unprecedented before the media fanned the flames of racial hatred and incitement. Taking advantage of the situation in Charleston, he could very well still be killed today. But the fact remains that we have bigger problems than a non-problem. 500 people show up at a rally, in favor of keeping things as they are with the flags and the graves. 20 people show up in a counter demonstration. I don't know. I think the city's spoken on that. But this issue of violence and crime and shootings and murders here in town, I mean, murders are a dime a dozen in Memphis. And, this case, I'm glad it is getting some attention, but the narrative the media is putting on it is just beyond hypocritical. It's shameful. And thank God we have men like Sam Bushman and this network and Republic Broadcasting that are willing to broadcast the unfiltered truth.
Absolutely, and they've totally exacerbated the situation as far as crime goes. Look at New York right now. Neighborhoods like East New York, the South Bronx, the bloodletting and the death tolls are just skyrocketing right now because they didn't want to address the issues of minority families, black families, not having fathers, not wanting to raise their kids in a way where all human lives matter and raise them in a biblical manner with consistency where all life is precious.
I think you guys have nailed it. I think we need to have a couple of quick discussions here about some key issues. And I bring this up because I think we personally have a narrow window of opportunity in which to take these points mainstream. And if we do our jobs right, I think we can force the mainstream press to deal with these issues. All right, last hour we talked a little bit about Dr. Ron Paul's latest column. And it says politics is not the path to a pro-life victory. And Ron Paul talks about how during his time in Congress, he tried to defund Planned Parenthood and these pro-death mills, and his legislation never passed. And he was shocked over his decades in Congress to realize that even those who pretend they're pro-life sell us down the river because they play games with funding and they say, well, we're funding Planned Parenthood, but we're not really funding abortion. But money is fungible, ladies and gentlemen. That means giving Planned Parenthood $1 billion or $1 million or whatever number you want to use for non-quote abortion activities actually allows it to use its other money for abortions. And it's just game playing here. Most, and here's the point, most abortion services go to lower income and minority women. In fact, this statistic relates. Every day, nearly 2,000 African Americans, babies, lose their lives to pro-death abortions. That's five times the rate as for whites. The real racists, James Edwards, are the abortionists.
You know, I was talking about this recently. If God had seen fit for me to be born a black man, I would like to believe that I would still be involved politically. I would still be involved in advancing the banner of my people. God saw fit for me to be born white, so that's what I do for my, you know, for my personal family of the rainbow of diversity. But you know, if I've been born black, this is, you know, what I think true leaders in the black community, and they certainly, the true leaders that do exist, and they are out there, they don't get nearly the play as the hustlers like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and Ed Al. But no, I mean, you've got to be talking about the black-on-black violence that goes on in these urban centers. And you, yes, you should be talking about abortion, too. You know, when's the last time you heard a so-called media-ordained black leader get on television, and instead of talking about something nonsensical like the Confederate flag holding people back, black people back, well, you know, why not talk about the disproportionate amount of abortion that black women have? You know, see, that's murder. I mean, that's genocide.
All right, so we need to open this dialogue on babies and the pro-death agenda of the racists that want to kill five times as many blacks as whites, but that not be talked about. We need to talk about the black-on-black crime that rages in the streets of America every day. And, James, you pointed to it just a couple of minutes ago on the broadcast. You're saying, hey, you know what? This stuff happens every day, but they don't talk about it, okay? And so we need to talk about black-on-black crime. We need to talk about the pro-death racist abortion mills in America. And we need to talk about, as Matt Felak wisely pointed out, fathers in the home. Sean Bergen, well-known reporter, pointed this out and got fired over it. Let's talk about it. God, family, and country. Ain't that the key? This is Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1,200-millimeter coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
We all need to have a frank conversation about black-on-black crime, about abortion mills murdering blacks beyond imagination. All good people need to stand together against the criminal elements within our society, ladies and gentlemen. All lives matter. So, James, whether we talk about fathers in the home, which I think is one of the most critical discussions we could have if we really want solutions, intact families is key. Discussing black-on-black crime is key. Providing proper leadership to these communities about the solutions and about what they can do to truly empower themselves is key. Deciding that we're not going to force people together is key. Letting people pursue their own heritage and their own destiny is key. I mean, I could go on and on about this, but dad in the home, black-on-black crime, death mills funded by tax dollars, all these are so critical if we're going to talk about anybody's life and about a solution in America. What do you say, James?
No, I mean, Sam, I'm an echo chamber for you on that one. I mean, you're spot on. And you mentioned, I believe it was before the last commercial break, you mentioned the name Sean Bergen, who has become a regular contributor for our network here, an on-air talent that we have. And he will be back with me this coming Saturday night, which will be our next live broadcast. We're a weekly show as opposed to yours, which is daily. And he's going to be on to offer his professional commentary on the situation in Memphis. But as you mentioned, Sean Bergen was a professional newscaster, television news reporter, up in the New York area, the New York metropolitan area. So, you know, very, very nice and prestigious position he had. But he was on the streets and he was covering stories like this. In fact, he covered a story exactly like this, where, yeah, I believe it was in New Jersey, this occurred. A black thug shot a police officer up there, a rookie cop, dead forever. And Sean went off script and made the very sensible observation on air, without approval, obviously, from his producers and superiors, that, you know, one of the problems that the black community suffers from is the lack of fathers in the home. Now, this is a true conversation that needs to be had. I mean, and it is true that their illegitimacy rates are through the roof. Well, I think upwards of 80%. Now, 80%, you know, and if so, if you had, you know, God-centered, Christ centered families like we used to have when America was a legitimate country, you know, maybe, and the blacks had it too, and whites had it, and, you know, now we're all losing that. But if you had that, if you had a strong nuclear family, yes, obviously some of this crime in the black community would go down, and that wouldn't cure everything, but that would help. It would be a white star. We need to have a conversation about this instead of blaming racism, quote unquote racism, which I guess in my experience has been to repeat the facts, to repeat cold hard facts and statistics about crime. If that qualifies one as a racist, I mean, that's the only thing I've ever done, and I certainly get called that all the time. But, I mean, we need to be having legitimate adult conversations about these things. We're not having it. People are getting fired when they do. People are getting ostracized. We've got to mature as a country.
But he who owns the media makes the rules, that's for sure. Copperhead, what do you think? You're not even allowed to say we need dads in the home anymore, right?
We need to point out who the real racists are, and that's the white liberal social justice warriors in the media, in politics, that have created the setting for what we're living out now. And these are the true racists here in America and abroad that have – they themselves would never live amongst blacks, Latinos, or any minority for that matter. We know where they live. They live in gated neighborhoods all around this country, whether it's on the West Coast or the East Coast. And they set the narrative and the foundation for the violence that's occurring all around us.
It reminds me of the Alabama song, though, "Can't Keep a Good Man Down." That's what we need to focus on, huh, James?
Well, listen, we have to have courage. And if not keeping a man down has to do with his ability to rise up after being attacked and savaged with these, you know, horrible defamations, these horrible terms, you know, racist, white supremacist, you know, so on and so forth, the ad nauseum bigot, you know, for merely speaking the truth, for merely advocating for common sense and righteousness. You know, Sean Bergen, you know, doesn't work in media anymore. He comes on as a volunteer on our broadcast and yours and does a great job, but, you know, he is still speaking the truth. That's the thing. He didn't apologize. He didn't grovel. He lost his job. He's gone on to another line of work now, but he's not probably ever going to work as a professional media personality anymore. But God bless him. He is still speaking the truth. He's still standing up for what he believes in. We need more men like that. If we do have more men like that, America's destiny can be reclaimed. But
And all I'm telling you is this. We need Americans that are willing to stand up. We need Americans to turn towards God. We need the black regiment in America, and that has nothing to do with race. The black regiment in America, meaning righteous preachers standing up and talking about the truth, talking about that all lives matter, talking about thou shalt not kill in the Christian way. We need to promote the Ten Commandments. We need Americans to stand together in solidarity, regardless of their color, their race, their opinions, their beliefs, and say we need to stand against the criminal element, and we need to have a frank conversation about black-on-black crime and about leadership in black homes called dad. And everything that they suggest we can't do, we must do. And everything they suggest is awesome and wonderful and good, we've got to reject. I know that sounds like too blanket statement, but for the most part, that really is the case. What do you think, Copperhead?
Absolutely. Because if this whole narrative of Black Lives Matter, how come the state of New York, more black babies are killed through abortion than are born? Every public hospital in New York has taxpayer funded abortion mills. They're called women's option clinics.
And the reason, by the way, that more people can die than people are born is because they actually suck death from outside of their borders, even.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. I mean, and these hospitals get the funding, and for every public housing, the way it's set up, these public housing centers in New York, the projects have a public hospital that's centered directly in the middle of them. And it's no accident that they have these abortion mills, and women are funneled in for these abortion mills. And we know now, today, that Planned Parenthood is getting money for babies' parts. It's just disgusting. It's
We know that the only reason this really is continuing is because the mainstream press runs cover for this psychotic pro-death agenda where they basically lie and cover up and manipulate the truth to where Americans don't know the evils behind it. And they cloak it in a pro-choice deception. Pro-choice would be to be able to choose life. But you know what? Choosing life means you're basically a breeder. You're going to overpopulate the world, you know, that kind of thing. And the media is really just as to blame as anyone, James.
Well, they're disgusting, Sam. I mean, you know, just the issue of abortion in general. Now, anybody can receive Christ's salvation. Anybody can be forgiven for any sin, even if you have participated in an abortion. So no one is beyond redemption there through Christ. But, you know, that's my belief. But let's face it. I mean, you know, how can you even have a conversation about it? Abortion's murder. At what point does life begin? Does life begin, you know, when the baby at 9 months comes out of the birth canal? Is that when he's a legitimate human?
I mean, well, no. Now you got professors in government-sponsored colleges saying, look, we ought to be able to abort babies up to 5 years old. What if you have kind of a baby remorse kind of an idea? And, you know, that now they're advocating for what are called post-birth abortions, believe it or not, government universities.
I have read that. I didn't know it went up to 5 years. I've read some other stories similar to what you just mentioned that said, you know, the baby is still technically a fetus until such and such months, and, you know, so you should still therefore be able to, you know, and it'll get there. I mean, why wouldn't it get there? If you can abort a baby in the womb, why not abort him out of the womb? I mean, it's still just as much a human inside the womb as it is out of the womb. So if you can do it inside, why not out there? I believe it'll come.
And where this really goes, James, is to the heart of the eugenics movement. Because if you say, well, we can kill the young and we can never increase the age of the young in which they shouldn't be allowed to continue, then you can do the same thing to the old, and we can reduce the age of the old, and then we can basically start to say, well, the blind and the deaf and the racist and pretty soon, you know, the eugenics movement's on steroids again, isn't it?
It's coming. It's coming, and, you know, well, of course, in places like Oregon, you can already suicide yourself, and that's a little bit different than a tribunal, you know, saying, well, this guy's got to go beyond his, you know, use and things of that nature. But it can all, if America continues to slide down this slope that we're on, God only knows. We can't even, as decent people, me, you, Copperhead, Kirk, we can't even imagine what's coming. I mean, we have an idea and we can say this will probably happen. It's probably worse than we can ever even fantasize about, because, my goodness, look at America in 1950, look at it today. My dad was born in 1954. You look at the changes, all for the worst, that have occurred in his lifetime. He's still alive. You do another 60 years at this rate of descendancy, and then you see what happened. They call it progress. You know, the progress. We went from heroes like George Washington, the national hero of America, to a 65-year-old man in drag. You know, that's progress. I don't want any of it, Sam.
I hear that. All right, you got about 10 seconds. Final words, yours, Copperhead.
Well, I'm kind of optimistic because people are waking up now more than ever, in my lifetime, that is. And they're seeing what's going on, and there are people that are finally making a stand, like Donald Trump. If you agree with him, his past politics, I think the point is, he's got the backbone, he's not backing down, and he's making a stand.
And neither should we, my friend. And I commend you, commend James and Kurt, and I support y'all. We got to double down and start to stand up and have these frank conversations and point towards the solutions. That is, you know what, race doesn't matter. Good people are good people and bad people are bad people. We want equality for all, special privileges for none. Check out our broadcast live and on demand at libertyroundtable.com. This nation shall endure.